am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Amen.
Oh my. All right. Thank you, Lord. We have a special by Sister Cobb this morning. made a vow to my Lord. Thank you, thank you. Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now we have Sister Gabby.
Your attention.
Thank you, Sister Gabby. Amen. Now we have Sister Rachel.
My Savior.
Thank you, Sister Rachel. You all enjoyed all the specials this morning? Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May be seated as we get ready for the offering. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Lord Father, as we continue to usher and give you praise, Father, Lord, we ask you to bless this service, Father God. Lord, bless your people, Father, for you know exactly what each individual needs, Lord. We know there's healing, there's peace, there's deliverance in your house, Father. Lord, now as we prepare to lift this offering, Father, we ask you to bless it, Lord Jesus. Bless those that give, Father God. Bless those that had a desire and a heart to give but wasn't able, Lord. We ask you to bless them with seed, Father, that they may be able to give next time, Father. And Lord, let this seed just continue to just grow, Father God, just to continue to further your ministry, Father God. Lord, to just meet needs, not just church, our needs, Father, but individuals that's out in the world lost, Father, that we may be able to reach them, Father God, especially our loved ones, Father, Lord. You do it, Jesus, like only you know how to. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Peace, supply, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Father, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We just appreciate the Lord Jesus for his presence here this morning. Amen. Amen. Only he is worthy to be praised. Tell you what, you can be seated just for a little bit and before we would go into the word. I'll let you musicians be seated too. Thank you so much. Appreciate you all this morning. Amen. I want to first thank God for all the specials that was sang this morning. Just appreciate everybody just doing something for the Lord, and each one blessed in its own special way. And we're really, really grateful for that. Like to see the gifts of God just be used by God. Amen. And sometimes you never know the song that you're singing, how it might just, you know, strengthen somebody. I know the song that Sister Rachel sang that was, we just finished talking about grace in Sunday school. And what a confirmation to come and hear that song here this morning. So God richly bless you. Amen. I got a praise report. And amen. What will, let's see here. I got a special request here from Sister Pat Hazelwood that wanted to give a testimony. Amen. Is that right? Okay. All right. Let's let her do that real quick, and then I'll have I'll go into some of the other things that we have. So, amen. We thank God for her. She just started fellowshipping with us here, amen, recently, and you know, we just appreciate having her. So. Amen. God bless you. It's okay. Amen. Go ahead, sister. Amen. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it.
Amen.
I'm here to praise God this morning and for this beginning of this week and for opening out this door for me to come in here to church.
Amen.
Thank you, God. I just want to say a little prayer here. I am who God say I am. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name. Nothing can separate me, Patsy, from God and Jesus. There is a champion in me, Patsy. The power of God is in me. I am always with you, Lord Jesus and Father God. Use me, Lord Jesus and Father God. Use me and my children and them and my grandchildren. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Pat had... she was up in Boston, is that right? Boston area. You were up in the Boston area. Yeah, for a number of years, over 20 years. And the Lord just allowed her to come down to this area. And she had been going around just kind of trying to find a church where she could worship. And she went to, you know, some other churches. We won't call names. But she went to other churches. And then I believe Sister... Robles had been invited her to come here, and she came and just say she felt like she found the church very similar to what she was in, you know, up there. So God got purpose for everything. Amen. And we're certainly happy to have her, amen, with us. And we just appreciate the Lord. And last week she went to be with her family for Mother's Day. Say, but I'll be back. And she's right back, amen, today. So we thank God for that. Amen. I'm kind of part of the message today, I'll be kind of talking about, you know, some things there. But as Christians, man, we should be a little further up the road, right? And our level of maturity. Amen. So we just thank God for that. Sister Rolande is saying, she says, my sister graduates today, and I praise and give God thanks for that. About a year ago, my sister almost died, and it was by God's grace she made it, and I glorify him for keeping her. So we thank God for watching over the sister and allowing her to come to this place. Amen. Where she's graduating. Also, we have a card here. It says, with special thanks to all of you, Spirit and Truth Church family. To know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do. To the Spirit and Truth family, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so very much. This is from Mother, Sister, Ethel Tillman. Amen. It's Mother Tillman. We're so glad just to have her in our presence. And the Lord has given her, now we celebrated 85 years, but that's because the birth certificate has been a little, messed up. But Mother's 87 years old and still come right into the house of God. Look good every time she come. Amen. Don't look toe down, but look built up. Every time she come to the house of God, and we just appreciate that. She's an example, to all of us, and we thank God for just watching over all these 87 years, and we just happy to have Mama amongst us. That's amen. We just very happy about that. But she says that I would like to thank Spirit and Truth's brothers and sisters for their support, love, participation, and endless blessings. I love you and pray God will continue to bless our church family. Spiritually yours, Mother Tillman. Amen. We thank God for her. God bless you, Mother. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I pray the Lord don't tarry, but if the Lord do tarry and I reach it to Mama's age, I want to be looking very much like her. Amen. Looking like a clean board of health. Amen. So thank God for it. God bless you. Amen. So last week was Jeremiah's birthday. He's sitting in the back. Last Sunday was his birthday. Happy belated birthday to you, Brother Jeremiah. Thank God for allowing him to see another year. Amen. And I don't see, but you all remember Mother Damas. Amen. Sister Chantel's mother, her birthday's on tomorrow. Amen. So remember her. And amen. When you see her throughout the week, just tell her happy birthday. And I believe we have Sister Samaya celebrating a birthday on Tuesday. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I'm so glad to see her get another year as well. Man, these young people growing up on us. Either they getting older and we getting younger. Something's going wrong somewhere. But we thank God for each and every one of them. Also, Sister Rolande going to be celebrating a birthday on Wednesday. Amen. Thank God for that. So thank God for all these birthdays. We want you all to remember Brother Donnie and especially Sister Lori Meyer in prayer. Amen. I got a call this morning from Brother Donnie. Said they was on the way to the hospital with labor. Just pray that God would just watch over our precious sister during this time and that the new Coleman would come forth. Amen. And last but not least, we want to thank all the sisters that came out yesterday and helped and just your support. I understand that the event yesterday with the Sisters Fellowship and the Modesty, I heard it was a great success. And, I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got work to do, and I'm going to try to talk a little bit about it this morning if I can, but what you all did yesterday was some of the work, just by showing up, even if you're not the one up presenting, your presence means a lot in the room, and if we get the saints here excited about it, and, I think there were three churches represented yesterday, including ours, There was another church that wanted to be a part of yesterday, but just too many graduation things were going on, so they weren't able to be here. But the excitement that left said, you know what, they want to do it again, and they want to get more people to be able to see the presentation. And and it's one thing to see the presentation; it's another thing to live what you saw. Right? So it's not just something that we're just trying to present to people, but we want you to think about this and just really consider, all of these things. And I thank God for my wife just kind of taking the time to put all this together. I appreciate that. And I just remember some years ago, Brother Daryl Wesco, amen, Sister Tina's husband, and Brother Caleb and Sister Rachel's father, He came to me and he said, one day the sisters will be looking at your wife as an example. You know, she'll stand before the sisters and they'll be looking at her as an example as to how to do some things one day. And he prophesied that years ago. And as I see these events come to pass, it's just prophecy being fulfilled. You know, and it's not, certainly. She has a ministry standing by my side. You know, her ministry's not here, but she's still got to talk to the sisters about things that only a lady can talk to you about. You don't want to hear that from me, right? You don't want to hear that from me, right? And I'd be all over the place, right? But that's why God calls a man's wife, because she can deal with female things. You know, amen. It's the truth anyhow. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in the world of the ladies that a man just don't understand, and no sense in even trying to understand. You know, and I think sometimes as men we can get either too far one way or too far another way. You know, either we get a little bit too lax or we get too stringent. You know, and don't leave any room, because, you know, they're sisters, you know, and we got to have some space there. But thank God for a wife that can kind of help me see some things. Amen. And when she helped me, that just tones me down, because like I told y'all, I was, and I ain't tell y'all who said it, but I let y'all know she was the one that told me, your wife gonna walk around with a potato sack on the way that you treat women. When I was a young man, say, the way that you treat women, your wife gonna walk around with a potato sack on. That was before we was dating or courting. Well, she ended up being my wife, but she ain't wearing no potato sack, right? I'm gonna tell you something. You know, God told, through God's prophet, he told us, God gave Moses his wife, Zipporah. He gave her, he created her for Moses. He said they had some knockdown, drag them out arguments. He said that must have been some trip on the back of the desert. Can you imagine Zipporah? Boy, she was probably throwing her head and her hands and all kind of stuff. And I can just see it right now. Go and take the skin, the foreskin off them boys, and, you know, and just take it right before Moses' feet. You a bloody man to me. I mean, man, what kind of, this the prophet's wife. You a bloody man to me. Yeah. God made it that way because Moses needed somebody to kind of help, you know, bring him back down. Amen. See, sometimes you wonder why God put you together with somebody. But, oh, my God, know exactly what he's doing. Amen. You don't find out about him until you get married to him. Is that the right? Is that right? Amen. You think they are, oh, just so sweet, so humble. Oh, my. Oh. Boy, next thing you know, they go to talking, and I was at the restaurant the other day, and, you know, and I was sitting there with one of the guys from the job, and as we were sitting there right next to me, this young lady and this young man were out, and that young lady just pop, 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 just talking. I said, boy, that young man there, boy, he ain't going to get one word in at all, boy. And I saw him try to talk, and he just started smiling. I said, fella, it's going to be you got a long ride, you know. So next to me was two other guys, and I'm just sitting there thinking in my head, I said, boy, this fella got it. He's going to have some trouble on his hand. And I ain't think, but these other fellas were sitting there thinking, and they looked And they saw her kind of stop talking. And they said, oh, okay, that's good. The next time she started again, said, oh, she started again. Now, she didn't know what they said, but I heard them say, God make it that way for a reason, you know. But we thank God for each and every, you know, I thank God for my wife. I certainly appreciate her. And, you know, we all, man has his place. The woman has her place. But together we can do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. So we just appreciate the Lord. I'm going to try to just speak a little subject here today. We'll turn in our Bible. I thank God for my precious friend, Brother Jude, and his precious wife being, amen, with us today. God bless you. So good to have him. So good to have him with us. Amen. And let's just let's stand and we'll read the scripture on today. Mark 16 is where we will start from. And then we'll see where the Lord will just kind of take us from there. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Mark 16, we'll start at verse 14 there. I have a couple of different scriptures and that I'd like to try to refer to today if time would allow us to do so. But we'll just get started here. Mark 16, and then I think I'll also go to maybe John 20. So look at Mark 16, verse 14. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. And I love that it's just amen. That means so be it. That's the way it ends, you know, that particular chapter and even that book there in Mark. Let's also go over here to John chapter 20, and I'll read verse 19. This is all kind of referring to when our Lord and Savior had risen from the grave. Amen. And some instructions that he was leaving with his disciples. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Those instructions that were left there for those disciples still remain instructions for today. Amen. So John chapter 20, let's start at verse 19. It says this, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, he had to say that because here, you know, Jesus was supposed to be dead, but now he steps into a room and they see him. And you can imagine how these people must have been feeling, right? Right now, Jesus showed up right now. Some of y'all just dropped. Most of us would just drop, right? But when he speaks peace to you, amen, it has a way of just calming your fears and your nerves and everything else. Some of us need God to speak peace to us. Amen. We need God's peace. And it's something about when he's peace be unto you. And it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a quick word of prayer. Father God, we come before your presence. Lord, as we just approach the word of God today, we ask that you would take complete control over what would be shared. God, we trust that you would just elevate our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord, today. And I pray that you bless, Lord, our gathering. We thank you for everyone that's come out to be in the in the service of the Lord today. Those that are not able to make it for whatever the reason, we ask that you look upon them. And I even, Lord, just remember my precious auntie right now who had to go to the hospital this morning. Lord, for the things that she's suffering there in her body, I pray that you touch her, that you would strengthen her, that you would help her. And God, in between that condition and her being, we place the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you, Lord, would just bring complete and total healing to her. And as my parents are there just to be an encouragement and strength to her, Lord, we ask that, Lord, may they just speak faith, not look at the circumstance, but look at the promise. Oh, God, it's your will for us to be in good health and to prosper even as our soul prospers. And we ask that you bring healing to her. Bless the saints, God, now as they prepare to hear the word of God today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. We will take our title today, Even So Send I You. Amen. Even so send I you. This is something that the Lord Jesus spoke here in the scripture. Amen. And with this, amen, I think we have to kind of come to we got to come to this place where we realize God has called us to something much greater. And I'll start out with maybe just reading a quote here, a couple quotes. Let's see here. Give me the first quote here. Be earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Brother Branham makes some comments here, and I want to just try to bring that to your attention. My God, even so send I you. Amen. It's good for us to catch this. We know the prophet was sent. Amen. But what about you being sent? Amen. What about you? What about your place in Christ? And we want to try to catch some of this. Look at what Brother Branham says here in this quote. It says, Jesus, the last words he said when he left the earth, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's right. His first commission to his church, what was it? In Matthew 10, and I've been stuck on that. Actually, from Luke 9, Luke 10, these same statements are made when Jesus called the 12 disciples to himself. Amen. He told them to go out and heal the sick. All right. And then when he grabbed the 70 that wanted to follow him in Luke chapter 10. Those 70 was given a commission, and their commission was to go out and heal the sick. All right. And, and then here at the end of, Jesus has already died. He's risen again. But his last commission, the last words to come off of his lips. Amen. What we read there in Mark 16 is, they got to go out and cast out devils and bring healing to the sick. You know, this is something that they're supposed to do. This is something that the church needs to do. And like I was saying a few weeks ago, when Jesus was on the scene, anything that came up, what they would say is just bring it to Jesus. You know, this person's sick, bring them to Jesus. This person need deliverance, bring them to Jesus. You know, that's all they had to do, is just get the person into the presence of the Lord Jesus. But now when Jesus was gone, what were they supposed to do? See, and this is the thing. Jesus tried to let us know the spirit that he had inside of him. Amen. He sent that back as a comforter to the church. So now people, we might not be able to get to the physical Jesus, but we can get to church. And if we can get to church, then we should be experiencing the same thing that we experience in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Anything short of that, we're missing the mark. That's bottom line. If we're falling short of this commission, we are missing the mark. Church, none of us, if we're believers, let's be believers. Amen. If we say we believe God, then let's believe God. No sense in us sitting around complaining and crying about why this and why that. Amen. It's no believer should have that kind of testimony. All of us should be rising to our feet and doing the things that God called us to do. Look, you don't need the pastor to pray all the time. The Bible say these signs shall follow them that believe. You can lay hands on your own family. You can lay hands on your own neighbors. See, we should be seeing something happen within the life of the believers. Man, it's, I mean, Jesus gave a commission there, and that commission, he didn't give the commission for us just to come and be good church members. That's not, I mean, I'm gonna try to read this, but that's not what Jesus died for, just for us to be good church members. Amen. We're supposed to carry on the work of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me go back to this this quote. And when that heal the sick. I'm gonna try to stay within the pocket this morning, but that heal the sick just it been in my spirit. All right, listen. It says, what is it? What was it? Matthew 10, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. What? Raise the dead. Now, right now, if somebody were to drop dead, right? First thing we do is go call, just pull that quote down for me. We go call 911 or we call somebody or we call the mortician and just come on, take the body out and all right, well, you know, it was the will of the Lord. You know, that's just the way life is and it's the will of the Lord. Nobody even think to stop and pray. Huh? Nobody even stopped to pray. Lord, we need more training. We need more training. You know, because sometimes when you go through training, you get motivated and inspired to, amen, to do things that you didn't think you could do. Lord, we need more training in the church. But I'm reminded of, you know, Brother Branham was nowhere to be found. And they had this person that dropped dead in the church. And they had already got the mortician together and they had already embalmed this person's body. But there were some brothers in the church that said, look, if Brother Branham was here, he would already pray for that person. He's not here. We can't reach him. It's our duty to go down there and pray for that person. I know they have already been embalmed. I understand that. But even Lazarus was already embalmed. Right? But Lazarus came forth. He said, so we're going to go down and we're just going to pray over this person. They went down to an already embalmed body and they began to pray. God raised that person right back up. Brother Branham didn't pray for him, but those men in the church prayed for him. Listen, oh my, when we talk about this commission, Jesus Christ is not here in the flesh. Guess what? Brother Branham is not here in the flesh, but the Spirit of Jesus is still here in the church. So we should be expecting these things. We should be looking for this to happen inside the church. Amen. Somebody drop dead, pray for them. That's the, I'm going to pray. Now, if God don't raise them, that's one thing, but I'm going to at least pray. Amen, church. We're not just going to accept anything the devil throw at us anymore. Hallelujah. All right. I mean, that heal the sick just been in my spirit. I connected that to that quote that was shared with us at the beginning of the year through Brother Caleb, and you say how, you know, Brother Branham saying, Lord, I can't deliver them people. The bar's too strong. This too, I mean, I what can I do? Me, little scrawny old me, try to deliver these people. Say, I'm expecting you to deliver those people. I'm not looking for anybody else to do it. I'm looking for you to do it. Only thing he can do is speak, house of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? God is expecting us to bring deliverance to some people. God is expecting us to bring healing to some people. Now, we can't do it in our own strength, but we can at least go and pray. And not just pray, but mix your prayer with some faith. God, I believe when I pray that this thing is going to happen. Oh, my God. I mean, church, we got to get beyond where we at right now. Hallelujah. Let me try to stay in the box this morning if I can. Listen what it says here. What was it? Matthew 10, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, freely as you receive, freely give. Or as God shows you, do what he said do. The last commission to the church was the same thing. The first commission and the last commission was the same thing. The last words that fell from his sacred lips as he was going up. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. We say, here's the sign of the believer. Now look at what he says. Here's the sign of the believer. He goes to church. That's what we say. Here's the sign of the believer. The believer goes to church. He's a good man. He pays his debts. That's fine. I have nothing to say about that. He educates his children. That's dandy. I have nothing to say about that. But that is not the sign of a believer. That's not the sign of a believer. Even to preach the gospel is not the sign of a believer. I like that church. You know why? Because many people, that's the thing that they feel satisfies or establishes them. If they can get behind the pulpit, that don't make you a believer because you stand behind the pulpit. Amen. What makes you a believer? Listen, he says, but that's not the sign of a believer. Even the preach the gospel is not the sign of a believer. Jesus said, these signs follow the believer. In my name, they cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. They take up serpents and they drink deadly things. And they drink deadly things will not harm them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And today you do it, they laugh at you. They got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Brother, I don't want to be Balaam, but I stay like Balaam. When he come back and seen what God had done to that bunch of holy rollers, he said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Amen. I say the same thing. The sign of a believer is to see the supernatural following each everybody's life. Not just the pastor's life, but the sign of the believer is to see the supernatural following your life. See, we put this off on everybody else, but what about you? When you gonna get faith to believe that God gonna answer your prayer? Huh? When you gonna have the faith to believe that? These signs are supposed to follow the believer. Even so, send I you. Amen. I'm not talking about nobody else, but now I'm talking about you got to go forth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, give me this next quote here. Now, this is out of adoption. The first quote there on adoption, amen, that I have written down, and I'm just going to kind of, I'm skipping down to the last part of that quote. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Church, I believe we got to rise up. We got to see God move in the way that he wants to move within the body of believers. We got to see it. Let's see here. Is that paragraph 8? Yes. Okay. Go down to the third paragraph on that where it says, bless us now as we approach. Look at what Brother Branham say here. He's preaching the message on adoption. And adoption is a placing in Christ. And I'm going to try to work with that a little bit here this morning. It's our place in Christ. Now, you can be born, amen, into the family of God and be born again and all of that. You're a son of God, a daughter of God. You've confessed your sins and, you know, God has brought you into his family and so on and so forth. But as far as receiving a placing, amen, that's something totally different. Because, you know, you can be a son without ever really receiving your placing. And I want to try to, Lord, if I could just really work with that. You know, you can be, you know, a good church member but never really come into all that God got for you. Huh? Amen. Now, let me just read this for a little bit, and we're gonna work with that a little bit. Bless us now as we approach the word. This is a prayer that Brother Branham's praying. Bless us now as we approach the word. And Father, thou knowest the reason that I'm approaching the word from this very scripture here. It's because I feel that you want me to do it this way, that it's your divine will. It's in your order. It's the order of the day. Now look, that's the important statement that I'm making there. It's the order of the day to let the people positionally find their place and be ready for the hour of battle. The order of the day. The most important thing that we can do is help the people to positionally find their place and be ready for the hour of battle. As our brother said in his prayer to you not long ago, oh, you have trained us so long. Now, Father, give us our ranks. Put us out there to what we're supposed to do. So we can be about the Father's business, for we ask it in Jesus' name, thy Son, amen. Now just pull that down. He said, now Brother Branham is quoting a prayer from another brother. Says, give us our ranks. You have trained us, but now give us our ranks. Now, I'm not a military man. I wanted to be one. I really did. I wanted to go to the military. That was just something inside of me. I wanted to go to the Air Force. But God had other plans for me. Amen. There's another army that he needed me to be a part of. Right? There's another army that he wanted me to be a part of. So he wouldn't allow me to go to the military. But in order to understand some of these principles, if you were in the military, then you'd be able to get this. Now, I'm going to try to step into some of this, but I know I got some veterans in here, and they might be able to correct me on some of the things that I might say, but I'm going to try by the help of God just to try to help you see a little bit. Amen. Now, in the military, since I'm not a military man, I was sitting at work, and, this one guy I work with, he's in the military, and I said, I was reading that quote, and it just caused me to kind of jump up out of my desk, and I just, almost kind of had a shouting fit right there. Give us our ranks. We've been in training, but now give us our ranks. I'm like, man, what does, I had to show him the quote. Come here and read this, and then tell me what this means from a military perspective. What does it mean to give us our ranks? Here's what you got to understand. When you join the military, everybody, no matter who you are, starts off in basic training. Everybody starts out on the same level in basic training. Now, even if you are somebody's come through the program of ROTC, it does not matter, because that's Reserve Officer Training, Corps or something like that. If you come through that, you still start off in basic training just like everybody else. You got to listen to the sergeant just like everybody else. Oh, God, help us right there. Listen, even though you might know, oh, help us, Lord. It's coming to me just fresh from heaven. As Reserved Officer Training Corps, that's a position that's been predestinated by Almighty God. He already know that even though you come through basic training, boot camp, God already reserved that you're going to be what we call a commissioned officer. God already knows that you're going to go into this commissioned officer stage. But yet before you get there, you got to go through just like everybody else. Oh, my. You got to come on the same level as everybody else. And what I'm trying to say, before you can be a really good officer, you got to be a good follower. You got to be able to kind of take what everybody else is taking and not get upset. You got to be able to endure some things as in basic training. You got to be able to take it. See, but, everybody starts out on the same level and, as they come into the military. But what happens that after they go through so many weeks of this boot camp, those reserved officers, they might start beginning to get their ranks and get their stripes and all these things. And they're moving to other categories because they got something else for them to do. Now, I want you to stay with me because I want to work with this a little bit today. As a person that just kind of coming off the streets, didn't get your education, but you just went straight into the military. And when you go there, now you got to understand something. You might start off at the same level as everybody else, but at a certain point, you might see other people getting elevated and you not get elevated because they went through some training programs to get to where they are. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I say we need some training. We need some training. So as my friend was just kind of telling me, he said, now when you come, especially you come straight off the streets, you can't expect that as soon as you come into the military that you're going to get a rank. He said, it don't work that way. He said, what you got to do is you say some of your rank might come through time. He said, what has to happen, say, maybe after a year being in 6 months to a year after being in the military, that's when they'll decide to give you a rank. Now, let me tell you something. He said, before you get that rank, you actually have to go through a test. He said, you got to take a test before you can get the rank. I say, my God, most of us, we want to come and be something in God without going through any type of test. But let me help you understand, it's when you're going through the test, that's when we really find out who you really are. Only during the test and in front of the test, you can say all kind of stuff that I'm strong and I'm able to overcome and I'm able to do this. But during the test, that's when we're watching to see who you really are. I mean, you got to be able to take on the test. See, so they watch and say, you know, it's time for you to be promoted, and you know, you're gonna move from. And I wish I would have got all the rankings, because it's so many of them. You might go from being a private to being something else. And look, you don't want to be, is it private first class? You don't want to be a private all your life. Let me see. I got a little note here. As an enlisted, or what I call a non-commissioned officer. A non-commissioned officer, this person coming in off the streets, they're going to be what they call not. Now, you're going to be an officer. This is what I'm saying. You can be a son. You can be a son of God, but you never really get the status, amen, of being an adopted son, a placed son. See, and it's not good enough just to be a son. Think about being in the military and just being what we call a non-commissioned officer. If you in the military you might be an officer. But being a non-commissioned officer means the highest rank that you'll ever get like that is a sergeant major. That's the highest rank that you'll ever get as a non-commissioned officer. The only way you're going to become a commissioned officer, you got to go through some training, you got to go through some school, you got to do some things that you didn't really want to do in the first place, things you was trying to bypass. Now you got to go back and do them in order to get to commissioned officer. Because as a commissioned officer, the highest rank that you can get is general. In the Navy, to be admiral as a commissioned officer. And look, God needs some generals in his army. Listen, you know, Brother Brandon say, you know, anytime a army go out to war, he say it's really not the general that's making all the decisions. He said it's the captains that's out there on the forefront. They're the ones making all the decisions. And the decisions that they're making during the time of battle is what puts them in position to receive promotion. It's the decisions that you're making during your tests and during your trials. That's what let God know whether he can trust you or not. Hallelujah. All glory to God. That's what lets God know whether he can trust you with the position that he wants to put you in. Look, a person is what they are under true test and trial. If you blowing up at home over some little itty bitty things, God can't put you in charge of no church. Come on, huh? You know, he can't do that, because soon as something happens, you blow up inside the church. You send everybody. Is that the truth? You at home talking about you want to be in charge of the church, but you can't handle the stuff that you're going through at home. Look, out on the battlefield, people know that's where people really get to know who you are. In the battle trenches, that's where they really get to know. They watch your decisions. They watch your attitude. They watch your character. They watch all that in the battle. And even if you go to school, because I got some relatives that done went to school. They got their degrees and all that, and they still had to go out and do some wartime. Because they watching if they able to take what they learned in school and now bring it out to the battlefield. Hallelujah. Guess what? When you leave church, you're going out into the battlefield. And God needs to know that if you're able to take what you get and go out into the battlefield and still overcome. Oh, yeah, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you, and I want you to do the work, but I got to make sure you got some character. I got to make sure you got what it take in order to overcome in this hour. I got to get you ready for the battle. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He was kind of telling me so some of the other things that happened, you know, in order to get your promotion. So, you know, you got to go through so many months. You just can't come in off the streets and then expect to be, you know, to get some stripes or get your rank just like that. You got to go through some time there. And he was telling me, say, one of the other things that happened in order to get when they're testing you, they're testing you for two things. They test you for your ability, and they test you to make sure that you're competent, that you are able to kind of take the information that you've gained, and now you're able to kind of do something with that. They test you for that. Oh, God doing the same thing. It's easy to remember scriptures. It's easy just to remember scriptures. But it's a whole nother thing when the devil beating you over the head. Can you still smile in the midst of your trial? Huh? Can you still smile in the midst of your trial? I mean, you know, we got to get to the point where people don't know when we're going through and when we're not going through. Huh? We got, I mean, you know, and that's the way I try to live my life anyway. I come right in here, you don't even know that I'm going through anything. Come right on up here and preach the word of God, and I got everybody calling me at the house. Everybody threatening me at my house. But that don't matter. God's word is first. See? It don't matter what you're going through at home. Put God first in all of that. Watch what God do for you. Oh, my. Hallelujah. If you want some stripes, if you want some rank, I'm going to tell you some of the things that you got to do. This just don't come just because. Now, some of the other, he told me, said that they every person that comes through boot camp without going through ROTC, they start at the same level. You say the stripes provide, and when you get stripes, it provides a promotion and pay. And in order to get your stripes, you got to be tested in your ability and your competency. It says another option for promotion is time in service. Now, so, you know, maybe you didn't go to school or anything like that, you know, but you've spent a lot of time in service, and that way, you know, they'll consider you for a promotion. Now, again, all this is, I mean, you got people nowadays that have come right off the streets and expect to be something just like that. They're not willing to put the time in service. You can't get a promotion if you don't put the time in service. You can't expect to overcome your trial if you don't put time in service. Huh? You gotta stay right in the same spot you in. You looking at everybody else getting blessed. But you, Lord, how come you blessing them and you're not blessed? You not putting no time in service. Oh my God. It's amazing how people want God's blessings, but they don't want to do nothing for God. Huh? You got to put the time in service if you expect God to give you the promotion. If you expect God to give you the deliverance, you got to put the time in service. In the good times, you got to serve Him. In the bad times, you got to serve Him. At all times, you got to continue to serve Him. If you want a promotion, you want to come out of that condition where you're in, because most people that's want a promotion, especially in the military, man, I'm just not making enough money. I mean, look, my bills are higher than what I'm making. I got to do something to get to the next level. And sometimes we got to look at it from a monetary thing, but just look at all the pressures that you got in life. You want deliverance from some of those pressures. But in order to do that, you got to put some time in. Oh, God. Amen. He says here, one must wait a year or two before they can even be tested for a promotion. You got to wait a whole year or two before you can even be tested for a promotion. I like what this man is telling me. Some of us ain't even seen trials yet. We think the thing that we're going through right now is a great trial. You don't even understand what trials are. But God trying to use this little thing that you're going through right now to build you up for the greater thing that He got coming your way. If you're going to quit now, when He send the big trial, what you going to do then? See, we're not even prepared. We got, I mean, after one or two years before, amen, they can even test for a promotion. Oh, God, help me. I like this. I mean, we don't realize that, you know, we got to learn to be patient in whatever it is that we're going through. We got to learn, Lord, help me just to be patient. Help me just to remain focused, remain faithful no matter what my trial is. God, I'm just going to stay right here. And I've been in church too long. I done seen enough in my days. People that's able to approach God in that manner, they usually make it through everything. God can send anything their way. They're still going to be coming to church. You ain't going to see them slack off. No matter what they're going through, they're going to keep on coming. You know why? Because early in their life, they learn how to get through trial. Early in their Christian walk, they learn how to make it through trial. Trials don't come to break you down. Trials come to make you strong. And in the midst of your trial, what God is looking at, are you going to hold to my word? Like a man out there in the military, is he going to hold to what the army taught him when he's in trial? Or is he going to turn his gun and start shooting at everybody else around him? Huh? Amen. That's what happened, though. You know, here, I mean, wait, man, don't lose it out here. You about to, man, they're going to have to take your cart you off, man. He lost it out there in front of everybody. He lost it. Now, get him out of here. Get him out of here. We can't use a person like that. God want to know, can you handle yourself? And he's using the little trials that you're going through right now to prepare you for the greater things that's coming. Oh, my God. Listen. He says, he told me, one must wait a year or two before they can even be tested for the promotion. See, this gives them time to be proven as a soldier. I'm telling you what he's telling me. See, their 1 or 2 years of testing or trials, that's time to be proven as a soldier. See, anybody can call themselves a soldier. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's, you know, I think some people are infatuated by the suit. Huh? They just infatuated by, man, I love to be dressed up in that blue like that. And, oh, boy, my shoes. Oh, hey, boy, I tell you, I look like a soldier. You know, and like the Marines got the little sword and everything. But, oh, boy, I tell you, I'm going to look good. I'm going to look good. But that's just for a picture. It come a time where that picture, you know, you got to earn your stripes. And you got to go through some things in order to earn your stripes. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody can stand up and look good. Amen. But if you want some real medals of honor and all these other things, you got to go through some war conditions. Oh, my. Hallelujah. He says the other thing, this gives them time to be proven as a soldier. And said the other thing that happens, say, field promotion is available to those who make critical decisions in battle. So when you're in the midst of a battle, if you're making the right type of choices, people watch what choices you make, and they go back and tell the people that are your leaders. And when they get back and tell them, you might be eligible for a field promotion based on how you conduct yourself in the midst of the trial. Oh, my. I like this. I like this. Let's go and catch somebody else in scripture. Amen. That was, you know, I believe he got a field promotion. Amen. Because he handled himself in trial. Let me see if I can just catch this really quick. I'm going to go back to the book of Exodus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My God. Thank you, Lord. If I can just find this really quick. I think it might be Exodus 24. It's just kind of coming to me now. I'll take time and read it. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Hold on 1 second. Just let me find it. This particular person, we're gonna read a scripture about him in a little bit. Oh, yeah. Exodus 17. And let's look at verse 8, field promotion. Field promotion can come, amen, based on how you conduct yourself, what decisions you make, critical decisions you make while you are in battle. I think one of the other people that kind of made some critical decisions in battle was our first president of the United States. And, I mean, he knew that if they would have gave up that night, if they were to quit that night, America would not be what it is today. But that man made a critical decision. And Brother Branham said the history showed that George Washington began to pray. And as he was praying, you know, that night, so that man was praying all night long. And he had to, and, you know, oh, God. I mean, George Washington, he knew that he had a bunch of soldiers that did not know how to fight. Not only did they not know how to fight, they didn't even have weapons. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have guns or spears or anything. No cannons, nothing like that. These men had rakes, shovels, and plows that they out trying to defeat the British army with. I mean, now, can you imagine what type of man George Washington must have been to motivate people to go out Amen. And look, go to your garage, get a rake. Come and let's fight. I mean, can you imagine what he had to do in order to try to motivate these type of people? Look, let me tell you something right now. If you discouraging people when they down, God didn't call you necessarily to be a leader. Huh? If you did, just put your stuff up. Ain't no way you're going to win. If you're doing that to people right now, God probably did not call you into a leadership position. See, but you got to find a way, even, amen, you ain't got but one scripture. Stand on your one scripture. Amen. That's all you got. Brother Branham said, if you ain't have no teeth and you can just gum the devil, just gum the devil to death. Use your gums. You ain't got no teeth. Use your gums to gum the devil to death. Well, I tell you, boy, he ain't got no teeth either. He's as a roaring lion, right? Is that the truth? He ain't got no teeth. He's as a roaring lion. So somebody's gums going to outdo somebody else's gums. I'm going to just gum the devil to death. Look at this. George Washington was a fearless leader at that time. And certainly became our first president and so on and so forth. But I want to kind of bring it back here to Exodus chapter 17. Look at this. A man that I believe got a field promotion. And this is just the start of it. Because, you know, you got to watch people at the beginning. You got to watch them in between. You got to watch them at the end. Oh, glory to God. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, just stay with me just for a little bit here. Moses chooses Joshua. First of all, in order for him to choose Joshua, he must have saw some certain characteristics in Joshua in order to make this choice. Oh, my. I kind of see him as a ROTC guy. See, he's a reserved officer training. Now, he done went through just like everybody else, but yet I see something in, and not just in Joshua. Notice what the scripture says. Because Joshua can't do this by himself. Oh, my God, I wish y'all would stay with me. You can't, Brother Branham couldn't get to everybody by himself. Jesus couldn't get to everybody by himself. He needed to send some other people. Choose us out, men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. He had to choose out some men. Now, I'm sure Joshua knew what men would stand with him in battle. Oh, come on now, somebody. See, I just by watching you in your trial, I know who will stand with me in great trial and who will just leave me right where I'm at. You can tell certain people. God allows certain things to happen so you can watch and see what's inside of a person. And I done seen some of y'all go through some great things. And I know with some of the stuff that you went through, it's going to take God, amen, to uproot you. Because you plant it where you at. Amen. It's going to take God to uproot you and move you on. It's going to have to take God. Because you plant it where you are. I seen that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need some folk like that around. Amen. Every church got them. Y'all know that? Every church got them. There's some churches you go to, you've seen the same people for years. No matter what done happened in that church, they done lost. They done went through 15 pastors, and they still got the same people, them same families right there. They ain't going nowhere. God called them to that. You got to know where God called you to. Oh, hallelujah. And once you find out where God called you, boy, the devil can send this and send that. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here. Woo! Come on, let's read this. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and to go out to fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. So Joshua went. Joshua did. Just as Moses said, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, let me help you to understand, because we're trying to help people find their place. Joshua's duties were very important, to go out there and fight, right? That was very important for Joshua to go out there and fight and choose out some specific men to go fight Amalek. That was their job. But it was also equally important for Moses to go and hold up his hands. Now, any person standing up with their hands up like this, eventually your hands are going to get tired. So it's also equally important. Maybe Aaron can't go to war. Maybe her can't go to war. But if I can get Aaron and her to lift up my hands, then you know what? The entire army of Israel is going to be victorious. Maybe God calls somebody to be a prayer warrior, to lift up the hands. But that job is just as important as standing behind the pulpit. Every job is just as important as the answer. Too little. No. Every job. I'm not back. I'm back. Amen. I shall restore, saith the Lord. Amen. I just feel good this morning, church. I feel real good this morning. And I'm telling you right now, y'all are not going to remain non-commissioned officers. Amen. You're going to be commissioned officers. Brother, we need some generals. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You cannot be satisfied staying a private all your life. Right? But even in the military, see that they have structure in the military to keep everybody in certain positions so that we don't step on each other. Everybody might want to be a chief and we ain't got no Indians. Now, if everybody telling everybody else what to do, who actually doing something? Oh God, let me stay with this scripture. It was good for Joshua to go out to battle. It was good for Moses to go up with his hands up. Amen. It's also good for Aaron and Hur to be there to hold up his hands. Oh my God, each job was just as important as the other. Let's see. Let's keep going. Verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on an Aaron, and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the other side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Amen. So rehearse this in the ears of Joshua. Now, you know, I like the way God do things. Here Joshua goes out and he defeats Amalek. He goes out, he overcomes Amalek. Not Joshua by himself, but with some other selected men. They went out and they defeated, you know, Amalek. But Joshua was the leader of this group. See, now, the thing of it is, sometimes God will allow you to go through a test. And if you ever, you know, all you got to do is just hang around church for long enough, get to know people, tell people about some of the stuff that you're going through, all right? They'll pray with you to get you through that. And then about 3 months to 6 months later, you'll find another trial will come your way. And you go tell those people what you're going through. And those people will do the same thing that Moses just did. They will rehearse in your ears, right? They'll begin to rehearse in your ears where God has already brought you from. Amen.
So all that talk about giving up and quitting now, you ought to get rid of all that talk. Because we have seen God do it before, and God can, God will do it again. It just rehearsed it in your ears. Now, you remember you told me that God did, you see, sometimes you don't like hearing them type of conversations. But you remember you said this? You remember when you encouraged me? You remember you said that? Huh? Brother Caleb preached on that, lift up your hands, strengthen your hands, and say, now I can't have everybody lifting up my hands, but I need converted people. People that's been converted to stand and help me lift up these hands. You remember you said this? You remember you said that? All they do is rehearsing it in your ears. Because the devil rehearsing so many things in your ears too. So God got to remind you his word. Rehearse it in their ears. The things that I've already done. If I brought you through this, I'll bring you through that. If I did it once before, I'll do it again. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, we see Joshua here, and I'll try to come back to him in a little bit. But Joshua was a man, he made some critical decisions in battle. Later on, and you know, you see Joshua's life, and maybe I'll just go into here. Later on in Joshua's life, and this is the thing. Typically, when you're looking to try to find your place in the body, and I want to separate this. Don't be so concerned about trying to find your place in the church, but be more concerned with about finding your place in Christ. Amen. Once you have found your place in Christ, you'll begin to act like a believer. See? I mean, and these signs follow them that believe. Not just the pastor, but them that believe. So find your place in Christ, not just in the church. See? And that's been the problem. We've always trying to find, where do I fit in the church? Just find your place in Christ. Typically, your actions in life, the way your character, however you were when you were growing up, however you were, and you know how you were, your parents probably know how you were and all of that. Whatever you were then, God can probably use some of those same characteristics the same way. If you were a leader at a very young age, then probably you're going to be a leader when you get older. But if you were a follower at a very young age, you're probably going to be a follower when you get older. It's real simple. See, and what happens in the church is that you get too many followers that want to be leaders. Right. And God didn't call them to that. So and then not only that, sometimes, like I just said, it's time in service. Sometimes you got to wait your time before God called you to something else. Now, Joshua was a leader. We see that. But he just couldn't jump up and start leading. Moses was still on the scene. He had to wait for Moses to actually lead the scene. Now, many of the kings of Israel, they couldn't wait for their turn to lead. So what they would do is start slandering. They would start killing character. Oh, my, I know what I'm talking about. They would do anything they could to take that current leader out in order to put themselves up into that position. If you can't, and most of, when you read in the scripture, most of the leaders that did that, they did not stay in power very long. They were always removed pretty quickly. So you got to wait on the Lord. Your time in service, just be patient, wait on the Lord. He'll bring you into, and I'm going to tell you something. While you're waiting, what God is doing is stripping certain things out of you. Amen. Taking this away, taking that away, pulling this off and taking that off. That's what God did for Moses when he put him on the backside of the desert for 40 years. This man was a great leader. One of the greatest prophets that ever rise up in the nation of Israel, Moses was. But yet God had to strip him of who he was on the backside of the desert. Most of us don't want to go through that process. Joshua was coming into this. I want to catch this point. Joshua was coming into leadership. He had to wait for Moses to come off the scene. Now, when God finished with the prophet Moses, He had a Joshua ready to step in. Brother Branham said that Moses was a type of Christ. When God finished with Christ, he had a Joshua, which is the Holy Spirit. Joshua means Jehovah Savior. The Holy Spirit is our Joshua today. The Holy Spirit was sent to set in and take the people over into the promised land. Joshua in the Old Testament days was there to take the people into the promised land. The Holy Spirit today is here to take us into the promised land. Now, if we can go back and look at this and, oh God, I got something that I want to read to you. Give me this quote out of Has the Lord Only Spoken to Moses? Watch this type. Moses, the prophet, on the scene, but God has a Joshua that he's raising up to take the people into the land. Jesus, the prophet, on the scene, but the Holy Spirit comes and anoints, amen, the Holy Spirit comes and anoints the disciples to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Today, God had a prophet on the scene, but that prophet is gone now. Somebody has to be anointed with the Spirit of God to carry this thing on. And we should be seeing the exact same things that we saw in Jesus' ministry. They should be manifesting themselves in the ministry of Christ today. Amen. Nothing short of it. I said nothing short of it. And anytime I'm just going to be honest with you. It's something in me that drives me to want to see more of God. Yes. Yes. And until I see it, and I look, there's a deep in me calling out to a deep. And until I see that deep respond, I'm going to just keep driving. I'm going to keep driving. I'm going to keep preaching it until I see it. I was not here the days that God's prophet walked this earth. I'm just reading the testimonies and I believe. I believe everything that happened in his ministry. I was not there to see it, but I believe it because the Bible did the same. In the Bible days, they did the exact same thing. Well, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that same God ought to be moving today. Well, I feel like Gideon. If God be God, then where are all his miracles? Amen. Where are all his miracles? I want to see the miracles. Amen. Amen. Look, not just signs. That's plural. Brother Branham said not just signs, but these signs shall follow them that believe. And we get all excited. God do one thing. Oh, praise God. No, it's a lot more. God got a lot more. Let's pray for the next one. Let's get them here too. It's like we ain't seen God move in so long the way that we know that he can move, that since we see one thing, that we just so satisfied. Brother Branham, when he prayed for them squirrels, he got excited too. Say, Lord, I ain't never had this to happen. I just spoke a squirrel into existence. Lord, say, where you want? Say, how many squirrels? What you hunting for, squirrels? Say, do you believe if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, don't doubt me, be cast in sea, don't doubt me heart. Do you believe that you can have what you say? Yeah, I believe it. Well, how many squirrels you want? Three. Where you want them at? So I have this one come up over here and do this and do that, and then I'm going to shoot him right there. He shot him just like that. That squirrel came out of eternity, moved just the way he said it was going to move, and he shot it, dropped, that squirrel dropped. Say, okay, the second one. Where you want him at? I want him to come up here, do this, do that, do that, and I'm going to shoot him right there. Did exactly what he said, and he shot it. Where you want the third one at? I wanted to do this, that, and the other. Well, it took a little time for that third one to come. So you know what he did? Lord, I thank you for my two squirrels. Praise God. I'm going back to tell everybody. The Holy Spirit stopped him right there and said, I thought you said three. You said three. I didn't say it. You said three. Now, since you said three, you better sit right there and wait for the third one. And you better believe what you said. Now, which way that squirrel going to come? Well, he going to do this, he going to do that. Sit right there and wait for him to come. Before you know it, 40 minutes go by, that squirrel did exactly what he said. He shot it. Now, the sun was going down, so he shot it. He heard it hit the ground, but he couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. He went back to camp that night. He just began to tell the brothers, said, brothers, something happened to me today that never happened before. I mean, God quickened the scripture to my spirit. If I say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, don't doubt in my heart that I can have what I say. I can have what I say. God quickened that to me. And then he asked me, what was I hunting for? He said, I said squirrels, and this happened, that happened. And brothers, this way, he said, and after he finished telling the testimony, he said, you know, brothers, we're going to pray because I couldn't find that third squirrel. And maybe tomorrow I pray that I go out and find it. And so that, he said, brother, why don't you pray tonight? This brother started praying and said, Lord, if Brother Branham is telling the truth, God let him find that squirrel. If he telling the truth. Now, the man had to put the if in there because that didn't bother nobody but Brother Branham. Why would he say if? Why? He couldn't even sleep that night. Why would the man doubt me? All the things that I told him, he's standing here, my own friend. Now, you know what? Sometimes your friends are going to doubt you, too. God tell you to do something, everybody ain't going to believe what God told you to do. So you got to learn how to stand on your own 2 feet. Stand on what God reveals to you, not what he revealed to nobody else. What did he reveal to you? I'm standing right here. Lord, that's what you told me. He can say if all he want, but I know you told me, and I know I ain't never seen nothing like this happen. See, that's how the devil work. He working that doubt and faith, just always battling, always battling. The black dog and white dog, always battling. See? And the one that win is the one that you feed the most. If you feed doubt, doubt going to win. If you feed faith, faith going to win. He stood there, he said, Lord, I don't know why that brother said that. Lord, I don't know. He went on off in the morning by himself to try to find that squirrel, went back down that spot, and said, Lord, I don't know what to do, Lord. The scripture come back to him again. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. Now, you say where you're going to find the squirrel at, and you'll have what you say. Well, Lord, I believe I'm going to find that squirrel right here. Reached down underneath something, just lifted his hand up. That squirrel was sitting right there. Right there. God allowed that prophet to experience that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God did not allow him to go through that just to share those testimonies for us to just be, oh, praise God. Thank God that happened to Brother Branham. You got to know that spoken word will come out of your mouth as well when you have need of it. This is not something that you just go do just because you want to do it. But when you have need of, look, squeeze is coming down. Things are changing fast. Lord, help me, God. I come up here a few weeks ago and I preached about believe the sign. And I was telling y'all about what happened in the days of Lot, happened in the days of Noah, and all that coming to pass. As soon as I finished preaching that very same week, President Obama comes out and supports the gay movement. Our president, I'm going to call him ours because I'm an American citizen. He's our president. That comes out and supports the gay agenda, the gay movement, and then on top of that says that he's a Christian. Him and his wife identified himself with the Christians by doing that. And then on another instance, they got him saying, my faith, my Muslim faith. They got him saying that. So, you know, what we come to realize is that he's Baptist, Pentecostal, Muslim, Catholic, Episcopalian. You know, yeah, that's what he is. Whatever gonna get him into office, that's what he is. I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm Episcopalian, I'm all of it. That's what we come to find out. See? So don't put your confidence in the president. Put your confidence in Jesus. All that's going on there is God is allowing that man to fulfill scripture. Whether it was him or any other president, scripture still gotta be fulfilled. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Let me get to this. Has the Lord only spoken to Moses? I was sharing with you how, and I'm going to come out in a little bit, but how Moses could only take the people so far, and Joshua had to carry them in. Jesus only took them so far, but the Holy Spirit had to come and baptize them with his spirit to take them in into the promised land of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham could only take us so far, but now the same Holy Ghost got to take us to the next level. Look at this, because we all trying to find positions. Watch this. And I like this. This is spoken in West Palm Beach, Florida. Maybe there would be someone who wouldn't believe in divine healing. I wonder what you think of this. The first commission that Jesus gave the church was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, freely as you receive, freely give. The first commission was ever given to the apostles, to the church. Not only the apostles, you said, That was just the apostles. I beg your pardon. There's 70 of them, not just apostles. So you'll find it in Luke 9 where he spoke to the apostles. Then you'll also find it in Luke 10 where the 70 was given the same commission to go and heal the sick. So someone said the other day that the power only come to the apostles. It was given to whosoever will, he that believeth, not to the apostles. There were 70 sent that wasn't apostles. Listen, and he also goes on to say this, and you find this in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Philip was not apostle, and he went down to Samaria and cast out devils and healed the lunatics and had joy and shouting and screaming and going on to the city down there, and he wasn't apostle. He was a deacon. He wasn't even a preacher, and he had signs following his ministry to demonstrate the power of God is preaching the gospel. Now, I had to drop that off. We don't have to look for a position in the church in order to have the signs following the believers. What we need to do is find our position in Jesus Christ. We find our position in Christ, everything else will take care of itself. Amen. I like that. Philip, not even a preacher. He was a deacon. And I don't even use the word just a deacon. He was a deacon. That was his role in the church as a deacon. Guess what? I've seen God. I watched sisters. Sister was having a baby. And while there was another sister in the delivery room with her. And while she was having a baby, the umbilical cord began to wrap around the baby's neck. And, you know, and when that happened, the doctors and everything got in a little tizzy. Oh, my, this baby, you know, the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck, something going to happen. Well, that sister that was sitting there knew not to get all too excited, but she just began to pray. And she began to bind the devil in the name of Jesus. And she couldn't call the pastor. She couldn't call nobody. But she had to call on God for herself. Right there in that hospital room, God worked a miracle. So you ain't going to be able to get to somebody sometime. Who I'm going to call? Call Jesus. Amen. Know who you are. You got to be in position where you can call Jesus. See, you got to have a relationship. And one pastor told his members, he told a deacon in his church, he said, you know, brother, I know how your schedule is, and I know how bad it is. You know, you just work here, you work there, and it's hard for you to spend the time that you want to spend with the Lord. It's difficult for you. He says, but what I want to tell you to do is live a life before God that if you were ever in an emergency, that you know God would answer your call. Live that kind of life before God that if you're ever in an emergency, God will hear what you're saying. God, I know I haven't been able to spend as much time as I'd like to spend with you, but Lord, God, I'm here. I have need of you. You live in a life where God, you know God to do it. Not you living one way in church and then another way out there. No. That's not what we're talking about. Church, if we want to see God, not and it shouldn't just be testimonies. I want to take it out of the pulpit. I want to put it in the pews. Not just testimonies come from the pulpit of what God's doing, but testimonies coming from the audience. Oh, you know, God did this. And I'm not talking about nobody trying to make themselves, you know, this is not no competition where, you know, last week the Lord heard my prayer and I prayed for this many people and they got healed. And I prayed for 50 last week. Every last one of them got healed. They kicked me out the hospital when I went in. They kicked me out. Because I'm just emptying out all the hospital beds and they don't want me around there no more. You ain't doing nothing for nobody. I'm just talking about you seeing a need and you addressing it because that's your duty as a believer. Now, I'm going to say something else here. Let's give me this quote out of the end time. Oh, hallelujah. These signs will follow them that believe. Even so send I you. I'm sending you. Give me this. Give me this, the end time. Listen to what Brother Branham says. After all, we know we like to see everybody well. We like to see people that's hungry be fed. But you know, the soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal, because that's the thing that lasts forever. You know, I believe that every Christian is obligated to be a missionary. every Christian is obligated to be a missionary. I believe every Christian is obligated. That is your duty. Now, not so much as you have to go over in the old countries and preach or something. But if you can't go, you can help send somebody else. You see? See, what you do to send somebody else. And look at what he says. And did you ever think what Jesus said about when the disciples asked him when he would return again? Why, he said, show us the sign that when he would return. He said, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. That'll be all right. You'll hear fathers against mothers and mothers and parents against children and so forth. But they marry and give it in marriage and so forth. We talked about that a few weeks ago. They marry and give it in marriage and so forth. It's not yet. But he said, when this gospel is preached to all the world, then he'd return. And where have we done, Christian friends? We fail miserably. Is that right? We all have a responsibility to be missionaries. We all have a responsibility, you know, to make sure the gospel is preached to the entire world. And like he said, it's not about, well, Brother Jack, I can't go all the way over there to Africa. Like, no, that's not it. You know what? We got missionaries come through here all the time. And, you know, and if we could just help one of those missionaries do something for the cause of Christ, God is putting that in our account. God is depositing that in our account. Church, we got to think more missionary minded. See, we got to think about reaching more people. We got to think about trying to, I mean, people need healing. Whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, people need healing. And he's told you to go and heal the sick. These signs are supposed to follow them that believe. So many people that followed the message back in Brother Branham's day, there was one testimony I was listening to. This lady heard how he had come and prayed for this man. That man had been sick for so long and how he was healed. That lady started reading that book. She was reading. She said, man, if this man ever come pray for me, I'm getting up out of this condition. She was crippled. Say, I'm getting up out of this condition. She there reading the book, and the Lord told Brother Branham, go to such and such a house, showed him in a vision. I just kind of wish that God could use us in this same way. God could tell you, go knock on your neighbor's door right over there. There's something going on. They need you to say a word to them. It don't have to happen all the time. I'm not talking about every day, but maybe once in your life that God could actually lead you, go knock on that door right there. There's something going on inside that house, and they need you. Brother Branham went, he knocked on the door, and the young lady come, the lady's daughter come to the door and say, yeah, God bless you, I'm Brother Branham. Say, oh, yeah, Brother Branham, God bless you. You know, mama's in there and everything. Well, she didn't say mama. He said, is there a lady here that's sick? Is there a lady here that's sick that's all crippled up? Say, yeah, she right behind me. So he moved out the way. He said, that's the exact lady I saw in the vision. And he saw in the vision, he walked in, and he just began to talk to her. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When God show you a vision, you can't be so quick to move. Because when you see the vision, these are all things that Brother Branham taught us. When you see the vision, everything that's in the vision must be in place before God will move. That means if God had, if the envelope was supposed to be on this side of the pulpit, but it was sitting over on this side, you cannot move that envelope over to this side in order to bring that vision to pass. You got to wait for somebody else to come along and put that envelope right here. Now, until that envelope get there, you just got to stand there and talk. Maybe sing a song. Pray a little bit. And they wonder, what in the world are you doing? I'm just waiting on that envelope. I just wish somebody would move that envelope for me. And that's all you just, you just pacing. Just, ooh, boy. And maybe even going looking at the envelope. Ooh. Just sit and maybe sit it off like this, you know, so they can see it. And you just, you know, I can't do nothing with that envelope. But as soon as somebody says, oh, where's this envelope over here? Praise God. Let's pray. Right there. As soon as you begin to pray, God begin to move. That lady Brother Branham prayed for, and that lady got up out of that crippled condition right there. And somebody told her, say, oh, she just excited. She just got excited, and you know, about what she was reading in the book, and that's why she walking like that. So Brother Branham said he saw the lady about 5 years later coming through the grocery store. And she come through the grocery store. He said he act like he didn't see her. She was tapping on him, say, hey, you remember me? She had a husband pull him up. Hey. And he just looking the other way, like he ain't even see her. He said, hey, Brother Branham, you remember me? Said, yeah, sister, I remember you. You know, they said I was excited. He says, but I guess I'm still excited. Because I'm still walking. And you know what he said? He says it's time for the church to get excited about what God's supposed to be doing in you. Even so, send I you. And it's time to get excited about that. Praise the name of the Lord. God richly bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we accept the call that you have for us. It's easy for us to look in Scripture and see all the people that you've chosen and all the things that you've done. But God, as the type was given, Moses left the scene. Joshua had to take it over. Jesus left the scene. The Holy Spirit anointed the disciples to take it over. And God, now your prophet, we stand here, we talk about what the prophet did and the different testimonies, but God, it's got to become relevant for today. You're not a God of history, but you're a God of right now. But God, put us in our place. Lord, not fighting and struggling over positions and all that, but put us in our place as believers, that we, God, would begin to walk and operate, amen, the way that you've called us to do it. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lord, if we drink any deadly thing, it won't harm us. God, these are things that are supposed to happen. You said, Lord, the Holy Ghost went with them, confirming the word. May the Spirit of God go with us, confirming the word. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see if there's anything in our life that's stopping you from being able to move. Help us, Lord, to lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. Help us to move all the doubt out, that we, God, would just only believe. All things are possible if we only believe. Amen. This is where the church is supposed to be. This, Lord, it's not just Scripture just written, but, Lord, these are the last words that you left with us before you went back to heaven. God, don't let us take this lightly. Let us take it for granted. You didn't call us just to be good church members, but Lord, you called us to fulfill the rest of your ministry. There were some things that you left to be done in this day. Lord, we got to take it over. Just like Joshua was left with something, we've been left with something. Now let us rise up, Lord, and do what we've been called to do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Church, you believe it's time to go. And amen. We can't keep sitting back. It's time to go. And if you can't go, help send somebody. Amen. Help send somebody. I was just recently, amen. You all can stand to your feet. Just give me something softly. Just recently, some brothers that sent me a quote on that, if I couldn't go, but go send somebody. And I got an invitation to go to Jamaica. I said, I can't go. Not right now, anyway. I'd like to go. Sister Marvia's pastor from over there, and he'd been calling me, and, you know, and then so I was able to work things out, and Brother Wesco was able to go. You know, I talked it over with him, and he was able to go, and I'm like, thank God he went. And then, you know, this other brother kind of told me and said, you know, brother, there's a quote where Brother Branham say, anytime you're doing missionary work, you're always in the will of God. Anytime you're doing missionary work. Now, I've never seen that before. It says, anytime you're going out and you're going and preaching to other countries and things like that, you're in the will of God. He said, because that was the last commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the last commission. And as a church, we ought to be excited that God gives us the opportunity to fulfill that great commission. Now, you know what? Sometimes we might not be able to do it ourselves, places that I might not be able to go. But, you know, it was just on my heart. I said, you know, if I can't go, I'm going to, at some point in time, I'm sending somebody. I'm going to give a piece of my money, and I'm going to help send somebody else in order to fulfill what Jesus said. And I'm just taking it and lay it right on the scripture. Lord, this is what you said to do. I'm going to give this to brother so-and-so and let him go and fulfill this great commission. Amen. And, you know, so I was talking to a brother. He was on yesterday, Friday. He said, brother, when you going back to Africa? So, brother, this and that. And he said, well, brother, I was praying. I wanted to give you something to help you go over to Africa. I said, well, praise God. Appreciate that. And I said, well, brother, next time I go, it may be that, you know, the expenses might be taken care of. I said, so I really don't need to. But I know another brother that's trying to go somewhere else. Maybe me and you together can help that brother go. Say, brother, that's exactly what we'll do then. I say, well, praise God. I'm going to start operating in this scripture. If I can't go, I'm going to send somebody. But I want to see God's great commission fulfilled in my day. And if we want to see it, we got to start doing some things, church. Amen. We got to start. If it ain't but a dollar, put that dollar on Mark 16. Say, God, I give this dollar for your work. It's time for us to see things happen, church. I'm under expectation. Praise God. What we have? Oh, yes, yes. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's what I'll be. I'll be what you called me to be. Come on, let's sing a chorus of this. I will be what you called me to be. Hallelujah. Listen. I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desires, passionately, is to be what you call me to be. That's what I'll be. That's what I will be. Come on, sing with all your heart. I will be what you call me to be. Oh, yes, I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire, your passion and me. Oh, passionately is to be what you call me to be. That's what I'll be. That's what I will be. Oh, I will be what you call me to be. I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire passionately, oh, is to be what you call me to be. That's what I will be. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. With all your heart, everybody say, I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Yes, I do, Jesus. Oh, Lord, my desire, passionately. Oh, is to be what you call me to be. That's what I'll be. That's what I will be. Hallelujah. God, that I'm determined to be what you call me to be. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't want to fall short. Lord, you have ordained me to walk a certain path. The enemy has done all he can to disrupt and stop me from being the best that I could be. But God, this morning I'm determined, Father, to rise above my trial, to rise above my tribulation, to rise above my distress, because I realize that I am who I am in the midst of my trials. Oh God, and I'm not a quitter. Amen. I'm not defeated, but I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. Oh God, as Sister Pat was just saying, Lord, just sometimes we have to encourage ourselves with the word of God. Amen. Proclaim who we are as the word has declared it. Oh God, Father, may we just rise up and believe. Reminded, Lord, of the scripture. We didn't get a chance to read it. But you told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So that be strong and of a good courage, for I'll be with you. And Lord, we can take the same thing as you were with your prophet. So will you be with us today, God. For you will not fail us nor forsake us. Oh God, we'll rise up to be everything that you called us to be. True believers of this end time message. Not just because, amen, we can confess it out of our mouth, but Lord, because the actions are following our lives. That's what we're looking for, Jesus. Make us true believers. True sons, born sons, feel sons speak, and their word is backed. Let it be, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Bless us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord, on Wednesday night. Trust that you would just minister to every heart, to every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I agree. Hallelujah. I'll say yes. Oh, I'll say yes. 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 I agree. I agree. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I say yes, Lord Jesus, say, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. I agree. I agree. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time with all your heart. Oh, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. 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 I agree. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise your holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank God. Thank God. Just want to mention, we will have service on Wednesday night, but there will be no service on Friday night to come. Amen. Just so that everybody knows, we will be here Wednesday night, but no service on Friday night. Amen. This week, no service on Friday night. So keep that in mind. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. And also, we were supposed to, there won't be any Sunday school next Sunday morning. No Sunday school. We're supposed to go to Pinnacle Palms. We're supposed to go to, it was supposed to be next Sunday. We're supposed to go. We will
I have to get something worked out for that. Amen. Just keep that in prayer. We want to continue that work, so just keep that in prayer. Amen. God bless you. Amen. The brothers will come and dismiss you.